Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, we want to, as we have shared, we want to pick up and continue and connect with what we were sharing last week called Commanding Faith, or the week before, in this series of messages called Dominant Faith. And all of that, and again, we shared some definitions. I guess you could say these were just dictionary definitions of the words dominion and also authority. Authority is really just delegated power, and it's has a specific purpose and force behind it. In other words, the authority that we walk in as new creatures, as new citizens of heaven, as part of the body of Christ, that authority is the effectiveness or the force of that authority depends on who backs it up. And so that authority is who? Jesus. It's the Father God. That name was given to us to use. And so at that name, I'm not just, when I speak that name, I'm releasing his ability into the situation. And at that name, they recognize that name. Demons recognize that name. They were disarmed with that name and by that person. And so they recognize the name of Jesus and they tremble at it. And so the authority that we have is conferred upon us or was given to us by the Lord Jesus before he ascended into heaven. After he rose from the dead and he was on the earth a short time, then before he ascended, you can read that in Matthew 28 and Mark 16. He said, before I go away, all power in heaven and earth is his. And then he said, go into all the earth and do what? Preach the gospel. And those that believe will be saved. Those that won't, well, he says, will be damned or won't be saved. And that we're to do what? Cast out devils. We're to lay hands upon the sick. So he gave us authority to do what? Advance the kingdom of God. To do the continue the work that he did here on the earth. So we rejoice that we have that position in Christ and that authority. But this position comes along with it that we've been given a place or a position to dominate. Dominate how? We don't dominate over people, but we dominate over circumstances and situations that oppose the furtherance of the kingdom of God. Anything that gets in the way, that opposes and tries to restrict or oppose advancing God's kingdom, we're to do something about it. We had an example here on the earth. Jesus spoke to the winds. He spoke to the demons. He spoke to sickness. He forgave sin. And he said, go and do likewise. So even as he was, we're to do the same. So this position of faith, we're to dominate over circumstances. Not people, we're to love people. But we are to dominate circumstances. So when demons and evil spirits influence people, we're to take authority over that. Because sometimes people won't be open to hear the gospel. They won't be open to receive something from God. But what we do is we begin to speak to those spirits that are blinding an individual. Now, you know, God doesn't, and always we want to make clear, God doesn't override your will. You have a free will. So you can choose to believe him and walk in all of his goodness, or you can reject So God doesn't come down and override our own will. He presents the gospel and allows us to choose. So the same way, you may see someone who is not open to the gospel. So you can't override their will, but you certainly can speak to the blindness that's affecting them. Because the God of this world does what? Blinds the minds of them that are lost. 2 Corinthians 4:4. So we can certainly speak to that blindness and say, you will not blind that individual anymore. And I command you to cease in that operation in the name of Jesus. I decree that their heart will be open to the gospel. And you keep them lifted up. That's where we come in. And we walk in this authority that God has given us. He gave us this authority not just for us to have, just to say, oh, isn't that nice? It was, we are what? The body of Christ. We are his hands. We are his feet. We're the ones that are to do what? Take back everything that the devil has stolen. We are to, as he said, go preach the gospel. Go reach this world that has not heard the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. So this authority that we've been given, let's take a quick look. And again, we've looked at this, but I want to just go back and look at this again in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17, in verses 17 through 23 in the King James. And it says that the God of our, and I just stop. This is Paul praying from his heart. He's praying for the church of Ephesus. And he says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power who believe, according to the working, oh boy, the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, say far above all, say all principality and power and might and dominion and what? Every name that is named. Where? Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Glory to God. In verse 22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to who? To the church, that's us, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In the New Living of verse 22, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things, what does that say? For the benefit of the church. So this authority that we've been given because we are the body of Christ, that authority was given for our benefit. And that benefit is to do advance the kingdom of God. Not only in your life, what does that mean, advance it? That means take all the things that God has promised, not only for you, but for the world, people you come in contact with. Glory to God. So this authority that we have, we share with Christ. And we are to do what? He intends that we exercise this authority day by day. And it's based on our, you know, I would say your comprehension and your apprehension. What does that mean? The revelation that you have. So a lot of times people don't exercise authority because they don't have an awareness of it. They're not conscious of it. How are you going to become aware of something you have? Through knowledge, through revelation of something. So anybody in this world that has authority, it's because they were trained, they were exposed, they were given that authority. You know, we always use a police officer or someone who has authority, but that person knows that they have authority. And they do what? They exercise it. And so God expects us to exercise this divine authority that's been given to us. Hallelujah. In greater capacity. What do I mean by that? You may operate at a level, but as you grow in faith, that you're going to exercise that and see it differently. Because of what? Your awareness of it, your comprehension of it. You'll see something a little differently. You'll speak differently. You'll believe differently. Glory to God. So this authority that we have in Luke 10:19, Jesus speaking, he said, "Behold, I give unto you power," that word power there is authority, "to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." But we've got to exercise it. We've got to use it. Glory to God. So this authority and this elevation that we've been given has no other purpose or meaning than that we were made sharers. That means that we share his throne. What does that mean? The head and the body are connected. So the authority that he has been shared with us. And we share that authority and we partake of it. So we've been given, as we've, you know, brought up in the past, that 2 Corinthians 5:7, we are to do walk by faith and not by sight, not by things we see. We are to walk by faith. What does that mean? We are to live by faith. The Passion Translation says we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. It doesn't mean we ignore what we see, but we're not moved by that. We don't live our lives by what we see. We live by the promises of God. We live by the word of God. And so as faith comes into our heart, what does that say? It's as faith comes through hearing and hearing the word of God, that word of faith is released out of us and speaks to those things that what? We see. That's living by faith. Not by what we see. Doesn't mean we ignore it. We may have to get facts from certain people or things that are going on, but we don't conduct our life. We're not to make decisions based on what we see, but what we believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having what? The same spirit of faith, according as it is written, "I believed and therefore what? I've spoken." We also believe and therefore speak. So when we talk about walking in faith, we're talking about believing and speaking what the Word of God says. I know this is basic, but I'll tell you, it's good to keep meditating on it, because some of the things that we go through life, always remember this, that because of who you are in Christ, everyone is going to face some kind of obstacle in life. I don't care who you are. You know, as they say in Spanish, some can be poquito and some can be grande. Little or big. There's going to be some obstacle that you may face in life. And those obstacles are to be dealt with through walking by faith and not by sight. We are to do what? Believe what God says. What did Mark 11, 20, 22 say? Have faith in God. And we are to do, I'm just reading here, 2 Corinthians 4:13. What you believe, you are to speak. And so we speak what we believe. So we need to speak words of life. You know, you can create an atmosphere of victory, or you can create an atmosphere of defeat through the words that you speak. You can create an atmosphere of joy or sadness based on how you talk and how you speak with your words. You can create an atmosphere of supernatural faith by the words that you speak. And so we need to keep that in mind. Doesn't mean that obstacles don't come, but it's going to challenge, those obstacles are going to challenge what you believe. And you need to keep your heart full of the Word of God, full of faith, so what? That you speak those words to confront them and say, no, you're not. You're not staying here. You're not welcome here. You must change. You must move in the name of Jesus. And so this is why it is absolutely important that we keep our hearts full of faith and that we speak those words, because what? We are releasing God's ability, His nature, into that situation. It's not our power. We can't change a thing of our own strength and ability. Oh, but when I speak God's word, I release His ability into that circumstance. And He will change it. Glory to God. Now, John 15. Let's take a quick look at this. John 15. Starting in verse 1. First 8 verses. We're all familiar, but I wanted to go back and read this again. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Or the gardener, you could say. Every branch in me, who's the branch? We are. We're the branch. He's the vine. That what? Beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that does what? Beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may do what? Bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as what? The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Now, verse 5, this is what we want to look at. I am the vine. Oh, yes. Ye are the branches. So now he says who the branch is. And then what does it say? He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For what? Without me, you can do nothing. Without me, without the word, you can do nothing. Without the word, you can't change a thing. Without the word, you can't overcome. It's the word. That when we stay connected to the vine and we keep the word in our heart and we speak the word, we can do something. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. But apart from it, you can do nothing. And we all know that in order for the word, in order for faith to work, I've got to operate in the love. I've got to operate in God's love. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye what? Abide in me, and my words abide in you. Ye shall what? Ask what she will, and it shall be done unto you. Who's speaking here? Jesus. If you abide in me, and his words, the rhema, revealed to you, if that abides in you, you shall ask or require, demand what you will. We're not demanding of God, but we're demanding the word be released. We're requiring it. And what? It shall be done unto you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Words spoken in faith have to come to pass. Glory to God. Let me just share this. This is something that yesterday the Holy Spirit just brought this up in my thinking, and I thought, yeah, that's right. This is something that the Holy Spirit spoke to Reinhard Bonnke when he was alive. Some of you may have heard him say this, but I'll tell you, I said, oh, yes, 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 yes. He was feeling inadequate. Inadequate in going out in front of people and doing what God told him to do. And he said, I feel inadequate. And the Holy Spirit said this, my words in your mouth have just as much power as my words in my mouth. Oh. He said that he said, whoa. He said, my words in your mouth have just as much, are just as powerful. That's the way he said it. His words, he said, my words in your mouth are just as powerful as my words in my mouth. Oh, let that settle in and sink in. His words in your mouth are just as powerful as his words in his mouth. Isn't that what we just got done reading? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. That's demanding the word of God. He said, and it shall be done unto you. Glory to God. His word is powerful, and it releases his power and ability when it's released in our mouth through faith. Glory to God. Just step back and think about it. Well, let me just share this. Isaiah 55:10 before we go there. Isaiah 55:10. And 11, what does it say in the King James? For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and does what? It maketh it to bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be what? That goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So his word spoken through us is just as powerful as his word in his mouth. We are his representatives here. What did he say? He said, all power has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now you go forth and preach the gospel. You're my body. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just a reminder, Matthew 18. Let's read this in the Amplified translation. Matthew 18, 18, in the Amplified Classic. Familiar what it says in the King James, but let's just look at this in the Amplified. It says, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and what you permit and declare proper and lawful on earth must be what is already permitted in heaven." So those things that come to steal, kill, and destroy are forbidden in heaven. So we have the right to forbid it here on the earth. Those things that bring life and wholeness and health and healing and prosperity, those are allowed in heaven. So we allow them here in this earth. So we forbid those things that steal and kill and destroy. And we speak life and wholeness and release God's ability. What is that life? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So our mouths ought to be speaking life, words of life, words of wholeness, words of prosperity, words of health. And what does it say? Every thought and everything that, and every imagination that comes and rises above and comes against the knowledge of the Word of God, what are we supposed to do? Pull it down. Cast it down. Yes, sir. You realize this, that God, I just take a little side note here. God gave us an imagination. Did you ever think about this? He gave us an imagination. You ever hear Brother Hagin say when he was alive, he'd say, "See yourself well. See yourself of whole and healthy and prosperous." How do you do that? With your imagination, with your thinking. You see yourself, you imagine yourself up and doing. But those things that are vain imaginations, we're to pull those things down. And you say, "No, no, that's not what God told me." I pull you down and I speak the word of God against it. You release faith-filled words. So imagination is good when it is not against the Word of God. When it exalts itself above the Word of God or against it, we're to do what? Pull that down. We're to come against it and oppose it. But there certainly isn't anything wrong with having an imagination that sees yourself successful and prosperous and whole and healthy and a good marriage, seeing yourself the way God's word says you're supposed to be. That kind of imagination is good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this faith that we have, and again, you know, we saw this. What are we supposed to do? Faith is supposed to do what? Believe and speak. So faith, we saw from Mark 11, 23, it says, "Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that we say shall come to pass," we're going to have it. As they say, no bout a doubt it, or no doubt about it, however you want to say it. Get your words mixed up, however you want to say it. But when you believe and speak, it's coming to pass. And we walk by faith and not by sight. Glory to God. But remind ourselves here, James Let's look at James in James 2:17. I'm James 7, 2, yeah, 2:17. I want to read this in the King James and the Passion Translation. James 2:17, it says, "Even so, faith, if it hath not works," or you could say a corresponding in action, "faith, if it hath not works, is what? Dead, being alone." So unless there's an action to this faith, we believe and therefore speak. So you can't just believe something. You've got to express that faith with an action. And that action, in most cases, a first action for us is speaking what we believe. But this says here, being alone, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect," or brought to maturity. Now let's look at this with the in the Passion Translation. It says, "So then faith," oh boy, I like this. it makes it plain, as they say. It makes it plain right here now. It says, "So then faith that doesn't involve action is phony." Now, I'm not calling you that. The word is. That applies to all of us, me too. If your words aren't accompanied, or your faith, your believing is not accompanied by your speech and your action, which would be speech, it's just believing. It's alone. It's not connected. But what does that mean? Something phony is dead or fruitless. That's really what that means. In the margin, it says dead or fruitless. It's just believing. And it goes on, "But someone might object and say, one person has faith and another person has works. Go ahead then and prove to me that you have faith without works, and I will show you faith by my works as proof that I believe. You can believe all you want that there is one true God. That's wonderful. But even the demons know this and tremble with fear before him, yet they're unchanged. They remain demons. O feeble sons of Adam, do you need further evidence that faith divorced from good works is phony? Wasn't our ancestor Abraham found righteous before God because of his works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Why did he do it? He responded in faith to what God spoke to him. He didn't just believe, he then did what? He acted it out. He acted it. The action. Verse 22. Can't you see how his action, this is what I love right here. Can't you see how his action cooperated with his faith, and by his action of faith found its full expression? So it was his faith and his action cooperating together that brought that faith to full expression. Or what did it mean? It bore fruit. And God saw him as what? It said he saw him as righteous. So what am I saying in all of this? We have to have a position of commanding faith. What does that mean? I have to have a position that I'm speaking to the circumstances that confront me in life and command them to change. I forbid them because if it's forbidden in heaven, I have a right to forbid it here in the earth. I've been given that charge to command it to change. Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this that's in your way, command it to move. Believe in your heart and say it with your mouth, and it will. And those things that we allow must already be allowed in heaven. What's allowed in heaven? Prosperity, healing, wholeness. I wish above all things that you what? Prosper. And be in health, even as your soul prosper. He desires us to live and to prosper and to be whole. And something that's in my way that's telling me something other than that, I'm to do what? Speak to it. Command it to go and change in the name of Jesus. Something that gets in the way of something that God has put his hand on. Could be your life, could be your marriage, could be your business. Something that's touching it, that's not of God, you're to do what? Command it to change. In the name of Jesus. Believe in your heart, speak that with your mouth, and believe that the things that you say shall come to pass, you'll have it. Glory to God. And I don't care how long it takes. Sometimes, this is what happens, that sometimes things can look deep-rooted. Something like a mountain, it's got deep roots. It's not changing. And it'll stand up and say, I ain't moving. I'm not changing. And it could be that it could go on for months or years. And we do not want to take the position of saying, oh, well, I guess it's not going to change. That's a vain imagination. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you're to do what? Pull that down, and you're to do what? Speak to it and say, no, no, no. I believe the word of God. I believe that he said that if I believe in my heart and I speak with my mouth and command you to be cast into the sea, you've got to go. You must go in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we need to remind ourselves that God is greater. His word is greater. Hallelujah. You just think about some of the examples. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. How many years did she have that? 12. And it said she got no better. But when she heard of Jesus, she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, it looked like nothing was going to change. And she went out in a society where she could have been stoned and killed for coming out being unclean. But she risked it all and said, if I just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. And what did Jesus say? He said, her faith. He said, woman, your faith has healed you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I don't care how long things have hung on in your life, whatever they are, you believe the word of God and command it through the voice of command. You're releasing God's ability into that circumstance. Glory to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you that it's all powerful, all breathed and full of your ability. And we thank you that we believe and speak your word. Glory to God. And we give you praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, just before we receive our offering and receive communion, if there's anybody here today and watching online that hasn't made Jesus the Lord of your life and received him into your heart, and you believe that and want to do that, then let's just say that simple prayer for with you when you believe in your heart and do what? Say with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead, it said you'll be saved. So let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I believe that Jesus came to this earth at your direction to redeem mankind and to destroy the works of the devil. And I thank you, Father, that he did that. He came, and I believe that he is the Christ, and I believe that he took my sins to hell and sicknesses, and when sin and sickness was paid for, we were raised from the dead, and we were set together in heavenly places with him. And Father, we thank you, and I receive him now as my Savior. I thank you that you are making something new of me. You're changing my spirit and cleansing me with the blood of Jesus. And I now decree that I am saved in Jesus' name. Glory to God. If you said that simple prayer and you're here, just let us know. If you were watching online, then contact us with that information on the screen, and we will reach out to you and send you some free information. Glory to God. Praise God Almighty. Hallelujah. From whom all blessings flow. Glory to God.